everyone. It's Roberta.
And this is Ryan, and this is the Midweek News.
On Art Blog Radio. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Roberta.
Let's talk about the news.
Right.
I have four things against this morning. I don't know if this is good or bad. I started out with two. We have to keep it to two. And then it crept up to three, and now it's at four. So, kill me. Is it going to go higher? I hope not. I think four is a good number. So let's keep it to four. Anyway, this morning's news includes in the Inquirer and Billy Penn, I believe, a notice that PAFA, Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts, Eric Pryor, who is the director, is going to leave at the end of his contract, which is at the end of this year. Now, that's big news.
Yeah.
Reggie Brown was quoted in the Inquirer article. He's a vice president of the Board of Trustees. And we interviewed him. We have a really nice, good interview with Reggie on Art Blog. He says Pryor was brought in as a change agent, i.e., to deal with the MFA and the BFA credentials and get that moved because they needed that done. And who's taking over in when he leaves at the end of the year? There will be an interim committee of three. Harry Philbrick, who used to be the museum director at PAFA and then went to Philadelphia Contemporary, which he founded, and then went to the Fabric Workshop after that as interim, is now going to be interim museum director at PAFA, along with two others. Lisa Biagas is the new chief of operations, and Sonia Bashiva Magnon is chief academic officer. So a triumvirate is going to be handling the work at PAFA, which is, you know, there's continual churn in the institutional world of art in Philadelphia. And so it goes on. PAFA's been churning for a couple of years now. Institutional churn I want to mention is that University of the Arts filed for bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So Friday the 13th, they filed for bankruptcy in bankruptcy court, and they're going to sell all their buildings. They have, I don't know, $50 million of debt and some $90 million of buildings they're going to try to sell. Not clear whether the $90 million of buildings will actually sell for $50 million to, you know, expunge the debt. So it's very complicated. And meanwhile, they still haven't paid the adjunct faculty members and other faculty members in the union. Those guys are out of 2 months worth of pay now. They weren't paid in June because UArts closed June 7th, I think it was. And so they haven't been paid for June, July, and now August and September. So that's inexplicable why they don't have any cash reserves whatsoever to pay those people.
See the endowment? They want to spread the endowment out to the to other universities. So if they, what did it say? $63 million in endowments? That could cover some payroll.
Yes, but I don't know that you can use endowment for payroll. They were those monies come with strings attached, and it's all about helping the students who were displaced and now homeless from UArts.
Yeah.
So I don't think that money is free and clear. I'm not sure they could pay salaries. But yeah, they're going to, the bankruptcy and whatnot came as a result of UArts not being able to negotiate with Temple to take over. So Temple had made an offer to take over, but it was contingent upon Temple getting the endowment, like all of it. And then the people who are the endowers, I don't know what you call them, the philanthropists from the Hamilton family, did not want the money to go to Temple. And so they said no. And that was the end of that for Temple University taking on all of University of the Arts. So that didn't work out, sadly. And now they're going to, I think the Hamilton family had half. They're responsible for half of that endowment fund at UArts. They are happy with spreading the endowment to all the institutions that took the University of the Arts students. So, but it won't go to pay salaries, I don't think, which is pretty sad. Anyway, it continues to churn here in a not good way. And I really feel for all those people who are not being paid by University of the Arts, and they did all that work, and it just, you know, it's shabby. It's shabby treatment. Okay, so let's turn a little happier here now and go to comics. This is my third thing that I want to talk about. Comics in Philadelphia is such a wonderful subsection of the art sector. Many, many comics are made here by many, many artists, and we love them. We just love comics so much. We've had comics on Art Blog for many, many years. So here, the art department at the Free Library now has a comics collection that is 2 years old. That's awesome to have a comics collection. You can actually go into the library and get your hands on those books and read them. And they also have, and they encourage people to write reviews of the comics. So we'll put the information in the transcript on how you could email in a review. If you read a comic and you wanted to comment about it, write a little review, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways, why didn't they do blah, 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 whatever. They are encouraging people to do that. Also, they have a comics club that meets, I believe, once a month. And again, we'll put the information about that in the transcript so you can find out if you're interested in joining the comics club. So really good news on the comics front. And as an ancillary, I want to say that Partners and Son, which is a comic store in Philadelphia on South 6th Street and near Bainbridge, they just turned 5 this year. And it seems like only yesterday that they came into Philadelphia. So bravo to Partners and Son. They're celebrating their birthday all month long. So they have a series of programs. Again, we'll put their link to their website in where you can see what the programs are this month. And then next month, Partners and Son is tabling at Art Blog's Art Market, which is very exciting. They'll be dropping off their materials that they're going to have at their table. And October 4th, 5 to 7 p.m., you can come and browse and buy merchandise.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. Finally, the fourth thing I want to say is, last time, I believe it was, I told you about a gallery that I hadn't heard about that was in Jenkintown and was turning 10 years old. And bravo to them. It was Gallery 705, I believe. I want to tell you today about Nancy Herman Gallery, which is 2 years old this year. And this is a woman-run gallery. Nancy Herman is an artist and gallerist and kind of polymathic artist. She makes digital art, painted art, books, children's books, like a series of them. She created her own website. We'll put a link to it. She's an illustrator. She, you know, has made textile pieces. She is a big music lover and classical, from the classical canon. And she has made art digitally that responds to the music itself. So if you think of the swells, there are elements in her art that kind of peak and valley. So you can kind of see the music coming through. Anyway, it's a very interesting space, which I want to say she shares it with a Pilates studio. So there's Pilates tables and equipment, the big equipment things in there, which they move out of the way for openings. But it's a space that's shared, which when I talked with her about it, she knew about Silicon Gallery, which was in Old City, no longer, sadly, but they were a digital printing gallery and workspace. They had the printers were right out in the center of the space. It was a big open space. And on the wall were the printed works that they were showing. So here's another example of machinery and art in the same space. So she took her cue from that and she thought, I'm going to just put it together. She's an interesting person, a woman of a certain age. She's done a lot, degree from University of Pennsylvania, has been making art forever and a day since she was young. And I will be writing about this a little bit more. There's a Q&A I did with her. So that'll be coming up on Art Blog, but I wanted to give you a little preview of that. So if you're ever in Narberth, look for Nancy Herman Gallery. I think it's the only real art gallery in Narberth. There are not a lot of real art galleries out here on the main line, I should say. So that's unique also. Anyway, yeah, Ryan, those are my four things. So we're ending on the upbeat. We started very heavy.
Yeah, that's really great. Did you see the news about the artist with the fake ads about the Kamala Harris and the Eagles?
I did. I
Yeah.
did. Yeah. So he has been revealed to be, I can't remember the name, but we'll put that in the transcript, the name of the artist who did those. And someone put those in the bus shelters without his knowledge, if
Oh,
that's to
that's
be
really interesting.
believed. If
Yeah,
that's
right.
to be believed, I don't know.
Yeah.
But who are we to question? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
But it was great to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really funny. I love the I don't know how the how did it end up out of my place and into a bus stop? I have no idea.
How do
Yeah.
you even
That's
get a poster in those glass enclosed cases? What do you pry it open and then put some putty in there and close it and assume no one will notice?
I people just go about their business. They don't notice it's there, and it looked decent, looked legit. Kind of had that little faux style that people. It didn't seem out of the ordinary, and it didn't seem to be striking as far as image goes. So you wouldn't really think it would be not a
Not real.
production of, yeah, not real, a production of the Eagles advertising company. So
Right. No, it was the
yeah,
same
I thought it
color
was good.
scheme. It
Yeah.
was very good. It was very professionally done.
Yeah, unobtrusive, not obnoxious, just kind of fit in there. Yeah, I think it was very sneaky. I don't know if Kamala Harris has actually commented on it or if anyone's brought it to her attention, but I think it was pretty funny. Yeah, I love kind of the guerrilla art. I wish it was a little bit more provocative, but it's fine. So I don't think it makes any bit of difference in this city.
No. Okay,
But
that and the name of the artist is a street artist, Winston Tseng, Tseng, confirmed in a statement that he had created the Kamala Harris in an Eagles helmet poster that was seen in the SEPTA bus shelters, bus stops. But he denied knowledge of how they got there.
that's funny. Anyway, I find that kind of stuff hilarious. I love more that kind of random stuff. I love that kind of street art. That's my kind of thing.
No, we do have murals all over the place. That's another conversation, Ryan, and we shouldn't get into that yet.
But I mean, like this one-off, the one-off art, I really enjoy because we do have all the murals and we're kind of known for it. But I enjoy this. Or temporal, like it's just going to be here for a week at max, and then it's moving on. So,
Right. Or it gets covered up or
or
torn
gets covered
down.
up,
The
or torn.
when Space 1026 started in 1998, they were known for wheat pasting images all over the city. And some of those would get covered up, and some of those would stay up for a long, long time. And then it got to be known that they were art and that artists were putting these. There were beautifully three and four colored silk screen prints that were getting wheat pasted up like real art. And people started scraping them off the surfaces and claiming them for their apartments or putting them up wherever they wanted them. So
That's really
that
interesting.
was. Yes, that was a phenomenon. I have a couple. I knew some of those artists. Ben Woodward, for example, was very generous giving away artists' proofs of these beautiful images that he was making. He was very animal, drawn to animals and pigeons and whatnot. And he gave me some. So I have some beautiful things. But people were pulling his work off of, walls here and there because they're great.
Yeah, I love that. When I think we maybe talked about this before, but when I 8 years ago when I bought that little bus, the airport commuter connection bus from like the parking garage bus, and I renovated it into a camper. Our first trip we took around the West, we had different artists tag the bus, and one of the artists that we picked was Dr. Chip Thomas, who's known as Jetsonorama. And he does wheat pasting on Indian reservation. He's an Indian reservation doctor. If you haven't seen his stuff, I guess we should add a link to his stuff. It's really amazing. We had him put a wheat paste on our van,
Cool. Do you
knowing
have
that
a
it would be kind of
picture?
temporal.
Do you have a
Yeah,
picture of your van? You should put that in the
I
post.
should. Yeah, I'll have to find that. But yeah, I should have that. His work is really amazing. A lot of climate justice, reservation justice, that kind of thing. So yeah, if you like wheat pasting as well, his work is fantastic, and climate-based environmental action. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. I would hang that on my wall. I would take that off of someone else's building and put it in my own house. I
Yeah,
would.
definitely, definitely. No, it's art, street
Yeah.
art,
So you put it
yes.
outside, makes it's Philly. So if you leave it outside for 5 minutes, it's someone else's property. It's just kind of the rules in the city. All right, I'll get to my things. And I'm just gonna pick my three. And then I'll go from there. But this is Philly Fringe is happening. So I just wanted to pick a couple things and Cannonball. So it's all about the performance artist, performance art that's happening around the city. I do find it a little bit confusing because there's not like a full calendar that I found that really like dials it in for me very clearly. But if you click on each event, you'll see the dates that are happening. Some of the calendar events have said canceled, which are kind of unfortunate because then it makes you think that it's all canceled. Some of it is our individual shows have been canceled versus the entirety of the show. So make sure that you do double check entire shows have been canceled or just the individual show. There's been some great shows happening. One show that I want to shout out is, I hate to say judge a book by its cover, but this is such a great name. Dixie Cup Seance. I love that name. So I thought, boy, this is going to be a great show. That show is running 17th to the 20th. So there are going to be a few shows once you hear this podcast available still to enjoy. That's at the Ukrainian League of Philadelphia at 800 North 23rd Street, which I don't think I've actually been there. So that could be an interesting venue. Dixie Cup Seance. Another one that I thought looked hilarious. So one thing that I'm known for is tall socks. I saw this ad that said, or what this show titled Night of a Thousand Knocks. And I thought it said socks. I'm like, oh, this is for me. So Night of a Thousand Knocks is Jeff and Buttons have a new show. And it looks hilarious. The art on it is hilarious. This show is coming up Wednesday, the 18th of September and Thursday, the 19th, 20 North American. That's Christchurch Neighborhood House, which is hosting quite a few different events. This looks like a great show. I thought it looked hilarious. Probably totally up my alley.
I have
And then,
two questions
uh-oh.
before you go on.
Yeah.
What exactly of Dixie Cup Seance caught your eye? Was it the Dixie Cup or was it the Seance?
Think it's the word mashup of the two together, because I don't quite, I mean, I can envision it. It's like when you get two words in a sentence and you know them on their own, what they individually mean and represent, but you put them together, you're like, I have no idea what we're talking about.
Yes, that
So,
was exactly what I thought. What the heck?
yeah. Well, anyway, so that one's described as, I'll read you the quick title. It says, Daddy Issues, Scams, and a Piled Up Medium Who Hates Talking to the Dead. Dixie
Oh.
Cup Seance is the story of a grieving daughter and her one chance to speak with her dead father, but she only gets three questions. What will she ask and why? And who uses Dixie Cups to contact the dead? So, and at the end,
Okay.
those three questions, each one gets a new question mark. I thought that was hilarious from a
That's
grammatical
great.
hilarious.
Okay,
Yeah.
second question.
So lots of fun.
The Knight of a Thousand Knocks, is it
Yeah.
Knocks? Knocks,
Yes,
like
like
knock on
knock
the
knock
door.
jokes. Yeah.
Oh no,
Yeah.
not knock knock jokes, really?
I don't know, it could be. Shakespeare invented those, I guess, or borrowed them from someone else. So
Really? I didn't know that.
also roses are red, violets are blue, that sort of idea.
Well, he was a
As
poet,
speaking of
so.
Shakespeare, next Thursday in the Henrietta Project are doing Antony and Cleopatra, which is my third one. And they started on the 1st of September. So this has been an interesting spread through the Cannonball Fringe time. They have shows one like once 1 week and then like one every week till the end of September. So there's a couple more shows coming up the 22nd and the 29th of September. That
But it's
looks
all the same
interesting.
show. It's all Anthony and Cleopatra.
It's called Antony and Cleopatra, a Philly John. So it's very Philly, apparently. And I'm not quite sure what that's going to mean, but it could be really interesting. Henrietta Project is a Black female-led Shakespeare troupe that's based here in Philly. So could be very interesting. Mix it up, smash it all together, shake it around, and then pour it out on stage and see what happens. I think that's what it's going to be, and it could be very interesting. That's 1608 Ridge Avenue. That is Antony and Cleopatra. Could be a lot of fun. Yeah, those are my three big picks of the week
Sounds
for
good.
events. Yeah.
I love that there's a black female, right? Black female Shakespeare company in Philly. That is outstanding.
Yeah,
I want
there
to
ought to
read
be
more
two.
about that. Yeah.
There's plenty of great Black female theatrical performers in this town. So it's like, have a troupe, we'll do Fringe, we'll do Shakespeare. So
That's great.
expect a different take on it, get a different vibe of what Shakespeare was. I think you're going to get a different perspective, especially when you take a lot of the men out of it. Shakespeare has a very different tone. And quite honestly, I think there's a lot there to be explored. And yeah, there's still a lot happening until the end of the month. We'll talk about more next week as well, since we will still have an additional week left in the month to talk about Fringe and Cannonball events that are happening. Cool. So if you see something that you particularly liked, and there's a couple events that I'm not covering, send me a note. Mm-hmm. I got a couple notes about different things that they saw that people enjoyed. So
awesome.
Which is why I tried to get to the Pig Iron Show, but that didn't happen.
Great.
Yeah, thanks for sending me notes. Keep them coming.
Definitely, yes. We need more email. Kidding, but
wow,
yes,
yeah.
Please. Please let us know. I want to say, let's just recap what we did last weekend, shall we? Friday, Ryan and I and Libby went out to Media, Pennsylvania. You remember Ryan's story from Media, Pennsylvania from the previous time with the loss of mm-hmm. his wallet and the recovery of his wallet. So we all are bonding with Media these days. So one of our board members, Gavrielle Lavin, has started a new coffee shop, I guess we would call it, in Media on Providence uh-huh. Road, and it's called Yo Coffee.
Yo.
Yes. And it's in an old Swiss Farms building. And if you knew Delco, Swiss Farms, they were only in Delco, apparently. They were a chain, I guess, or individually owned, I don't know, drive-through dairy stores. So you could drive in. There was a big silo out in front to signal that you were at a farm, which you weren't. But anyway, it gave you the ambiance of farmness. And you would go to the window. You would order your quart of milk and your butter and your eggs and all that stuff. And then you would swing around and exit. And so there are legacy Swiss Farms places all over Delco. Well, that's an exaggeration. There may be three of them. I don't know. But anyway, Gabrielle and her husband started Yo Coffee in an old Swiss Farms. They're repurposing it in a kind of tiki straw hat, floral wallpaper on the wall on the inside ambiance. And it's just great. It is so wonderful as a reuse of an old building that who knew what was going to happen to it. And you can drive through and get your coffee, and they have a full service coffee service and some sweets and some crazy kind of candy that they bought from a local candy maker. Freeze-dried M&Ms, freeze-dried candy corn, you know, freeze-dried everything. Anyway, we went out, we found it, and we had coffee and talked with Gabrielle, and she is wildly excited about what they're doing. And they're doing community events in the neighborhood out there. The next day, we were out there Friday. The next day, she was taking their little van. They have a little van that they bought to cart things around to Rose Tree Park, I think it was, where there was a 5K and a whole bunch of vendors. And they were just going to participate and have their coffee kiosk there. That was really a nice field trip that we did. I'm glad we did it. It was happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. I had the Bala Avenue of the Arts Art Walk, which was on Sunday, a very beautiful day, very hot and sunny. There were more than 30 vendors that were there, including a person from Morocco in a hijab who was doing henna. She just arrived on the scene. It was marvelous. And she said, "Can I do this? I have my stuff. Can I get a table?" And of course, we had set this up months before, but we found room for her. We found a table for her. We found a tent for her. And she set up and she was doing a big business. People love to have their hand covered with these exquisite designs, the henna designs. Huh. So that was sort of the high point of the festival for me. There were about 1,500 people that showed up, which was amazing.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Great. Yeah. There was a Mr. Softy truck. I was so parched by the time lunch rolled around that all I wanted was Mr. Softy. that happened. But there was a vendor selling corn on the cob, which I thought was amazing, out of a truck selling corn on the cob. Cooked, of course. And then some West African spicy food. So it was really a thing. And we're going to do it again next year. So I'll let you know when applications are open to vend at it again.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, we're ramping up for the art market, everybody. We are so excited. We have the artists filled out their forms. We're going to have so much art. It's going to be fabulous. And we're hoping you show up on October 4th, Friday, October 4th, 5 to 7 p.m. is the opening at Moore College of Art and Design. Accessible building on the parkway. You know it. You can be there. We'd love to see you. So come on out for that. There'll be beverages and there'll be snacks and it'll be really nice. And art, lots and lots of art, affordable. So you can buy.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And it's going to be happening all through October and November and into December.
Yep.
So lots of time, but do come out for the opening. See what there's available and what's going on. And there's a lot of programming happening that we'll keep you up to date on as well. And yeah, so look for that opening coming up in just a few weeks.
Yep.
We're excited about it.
We are very excited. Bye. Signing off. It's Roberta. Thank you for listening.
And this is Ryan. And this has been the Midweek Art Blog Radio News.
Excellent. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.